So when Srila Prabhupada initiated him, he said, "Your name is Siddhanta Das."
Yeah.
Nice. So, yeah. So after he was initiated by Srila Prabhupada, he traveled with him. You may know Siddhanta. He does these ITV productions for Prabhupada remembrances on video, and he's the person. He actually came here to South Africa with another devotee from the ITV productions, Nishinananda Prabhu, during our temple opening at Radharani Temple. So Siddhanta Prabhu was traveling to Dallas from another location in the US with a friend that he just introduced to Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada was arriving in Dallas a few days later. So, when Srila Prabhupada arrived from the airport at the temple, or ISKCON temple, he gave a very short arrival address. And at the end of the arrival address, which kind of normally does not happen, but he just asked any questions. So Siddhanta Prabhu, who brought this friend of his for the very first time. Of course, he was already introduced to Krishna consciousness by Siddhanta Prabhu, but now he's meeting him and seeing Srila Prabhupada. And you know, devotees, you know, they like get very excited and very enthusiastic. You know, they speak more about Srila Prabhupada than Krishna. You know, to even new people, which we also do. So that's what happened. That he, you know, that he convinced him, "You're going to meet my spiritual master." So therefore he came. So as soon as Srila Prabhupada asked any questions, his hand shot up, the friend. His hand shot up. Now normally, when we ask questions about the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you know, we may ask questions like, you know, why do we chant Hare Krishna? What is the meaning of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? What are the benefits of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? You get these kind of questions. You know, what is this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra all about? And so forth. But he, this friend of Siddhanta Prabhu, he asked a unique question. He asked Srila Prabhupada, "So, how do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra?" This question. And Srila Prabhupada, without hesitation, immediately responded. He said, "I feel no fear." Immediately. So when I heard this from Siddhanta Prabhu, immediately I was you know, thinking of the that bhajan, famous bhajan Udayavana. Shri Nanda Nanda Abhaya Charanara Abhaya Charanara, the lotus feet of the Lord are fearless, and one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Shri Nanda Nanda Nanda, son of Nanda Maharaj, he also is fearless. So in this particular verse, Srila Prabhupada tells us, and including directly Sri Krishna himself, that the people are looking for happiness, but they're not really going to get it. Because there's a prerequisite for happiness. And the prerequisite for happiness is peace. If one is not internally peaceful, you can never, ever, ever be happy. Of course, it's a little different for like devotees or for preachers or for those who are already, you could say in one sense, have a sense of realization and also are in Krishna consciousness for some time, for many years. It's a little different. Because that type of devotee, especially a preacher is never peaceful. For one's personal self, the preacher is peaceful. But the preacher is never peaceful because, as Srila Prabhupada used to often say, in relation to Prahlad Maharaj, you know, paradukha dukhi. In other words, for one's own self, the preacher is self-satisfied and is peaceful. But when the preacher sees that others are suffering, and that preacher suffers in the sufferings of others, so therefore is not peaceful. We're not talking about that situation here in relation to a preacher. We're talking about persons in the material world. They're looking for happiness, but they will never find happiness until there's a prerequisite for that happiness. That one is internally peaceful. So Srila Prabhupada paraphrases here that peace means that particular verse about taram yagya tapasam sarva loke maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam yatva maham ashantim richiti. In other words, when one actually recognizes, and even to the effect which would be better, fully realizes that, you know, Krishna is the only beneficiary of all our activities. And in practical terms, it means not just Krishna, not just Krishna, because that's not easy, you know, to attain Krishna, and he's the beneficiary of all our activities. So another time, another disciple, you know, he told Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you always are telling us, you know, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Everything, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Or everything, consciousness of Krishna. Prabhupada said, Krishna, 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 Krishna. So that disciple, in a very, you could say, in a very innocent way, he asked Srila Prabhupada, if everything is in relationship to Krishna, 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 which is Krishna consciousness, where do you fit in? Where do you fit in, Srila Prabhupada? So Srila Prabhupada, in all humility, he put his head down. And then Srila Prabhupada said that Krishna includes the disciplined succession. In other words, Krishna is not alone. Yeah. So therefore, if we want to recognize that Krishna is the beneficiary of all activities, it means including the disciplic succession. So when one offers the, you know, one's results of one's activities to be used in Krishna's service and to please Shishi Radha, Radha Radhanath, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Shishi, Nitaigaur, Sundar, like that, then one has to offer those results to the members of the disciplic succession. You know, which includes one's initiating spiritual masters, Diksha Guru, which includes instructing spiritual masters, Diksha Guru, and also it includes the general Vaishnavas also, to serve devotees. So that's the practical application. Now why do we do that? Simple. You feel peaceful. Feel peaceful. Then sarva loke maheshwaram. When one does that, then it leads to the next realization that that Krishna is actually the supreme proprietor of everything and everyone. You know, my wife belongs to Krishna, my house belongs to Krishna, my influence belongs to Krishna, you know, my wealth belongs to Krishna, my attachments in general belong to Krishna. So when one recognizes that, you know, Sarva Loke Maheshwara, then one feels even more peaceful. And then one will kind of fully realize that, yes, Suridana Sarva Bhutana, that Krishna, which includes the disciplic succession, is my only friend and well-wisher. Nobody else and nothing else. Now, then Gyatva Mam Shantam Rinchati. In other words, there is a kind of, a peaceful condition that cannot be achieved. And Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of the United Nations. Very famous, United Nations. That Srila Prabhupada said almost every year there's another flag that's being added of another country that's joining the United Nations. So it's actually becoming more disunited because you're adding another flag. And they want to achieve peace to the United Nations conferences and so forth. But the actual fact of the matter is that peace cannot be achieved, both materially and both spiritually. It cannot really be achieved. Materially, certainly not. But spiritually, one has to keep one's heart open to receive peace, not to achieve it. So these three factors, bhoktaram, yavya, tapasam, that Krishna is the, and the disciplic succession are the beneficiary of all of our activities. Sarva Loke Maheshwaram, that, you know, Krishna and his representatives, you know, are the proprietor of everything. And Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, that, you know, Krishna is the principal well-wisher and friend of every living entity. When one realizes that, then Gyatva Mam Shantim, then peace by its own sweet will and by its own accord enters the heart and consciousness of the devotee. It's not something one can achieve, but one keeps one's heart open to receive. That's how it goes. So then from that point on, this prerequisite for happiness, when one is feeling internally peaceful, and happiness automatically comes into flow. Automatically, that is received. It's a result of the internal peaceful condition. So this is that one particular verse. Then we know the famous, you know, saying, you know, yesterday, today, for most of the day, you know, Happy New Year. It's Happy New Year. We know people are not happy because they don't have the prerequisite to happiness, which is to be internally peaceful. So I'll just read another part what Prabhupada says, how to be happy, not just for the new year, but eternally. Very wonderful place Prabhupada says. This is in the 13th chapter. There's a group of verses here from text 8 to 12. And a part of these five verses, which kind of refers to most of us here in terms of being in a grihastha life or in a vanaprastha life for some of you. And it's appropriate. It says the words putra dara griha nishu. It means it means freedom from entanglement, from children, wife, home, and the rest. That's the direct verse. However, Srila Prabhupada gives another description of what that means in the purport. And it goes as follows. I'm just getting that part of the purport. Yeah, I have it. So this is the part of the, it's a lengthy program, but that part of the program in relation to how you can be happy in Krishna consciousness in family life. Srila Prabhupada says, as for detachment from children, wife and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for this. In other words, you cannot shirk your responsibility as a husband or a father. You cannot say, I'm fed up with family life, let me go to live in Radha temple and take sannyas. Let Krishna take care of my wife and children. That's irresponsible. So Prabhupada is saying that you should have some feeling for them. Then Srila Prabhupada goes on and says, they are natural objects of affection. But when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. And this is kind of important. I looked at this word attached in various parts of Srila Prabhupada's purports. It's a very interesting thing that that there are basically three words. One is attachment, the other is detachment. One is attached and the other is detached. And the third word is unattached. So that's the one. In other words, we are attached, but we can use our attachments in Krishna's service. We can encourage our attachments to be connected to Krishna, so you don't become detached. There's no need to give up something for something else. There's no attachment or detachment. So Prabhupada says here that although they may not be connected or favorable in Krishna consciousness, one should not be attached to them, but still continue to do your duty as the father or as a husband or as a mother or as a wife or as a son or daughter. That means, in other words, be unattached, but don't give up your duty in that way. So then Srila Prabhupada gives the four things for Happy New Year. Four things for Happy New Year. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. And these are the four things. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy, not just temporarily happy. He can make his home very happy. Because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. See? It's very easy. Now yesterday I mentioned that Tamal Krishna Goswami, told Srila Prabhupada, I thought you said Krishna consciousness was easy. And Srila Prabhupada replied, no, I never said that. I said Krishna consciousness is simple. But Srila Prabhupada is using the word very easy. In other words, easy means if you live a simple life, then it becomes easy. If you're simple, then it becomes easy. Now there's the simplicity of this easiness, which will make the home very happy, Prabhupada uses the word, very happy. Four things. One need only chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. That's one. Two, accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Three, have some discussions on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And then four, and engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. One should train the members of his family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, following these four principles, then there's no need to change from family life to renounced life. In other words, you don't need to even enter into the other ashrams just by doing these four things in one home. You know, we can elaborate further on this. You know, for example, Prabhupada said one should only eat remnants of the foodstuffs offered to Krishna, which is Krishna Prasad. You know, it's like not buying things from Gauri Maas or what's that his name? The Maas is famous. Taranichan. It's like. You understand, right? It's like, you know, like as only as Bhakti Chaitanya Swami was giving a Chaitanya Chaitanya class on Sunday morning in the temple. So you know, he was making this point that, you know, you should be like Grihastha. You should take it like seriously. He said something like, take it seriously. You know, the principles of the Grihastha Ashram. And these are the four practicalities of those principles of the Grihastha. Should be serious about it. Very, very serious about it. And besides Brahmacharya, he was emphasizing how in the Grihastha Ashram. That's a very wonderful talk. And one of the principal items for the Grihastha Ashram is to, there's the four things, chant the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then discuss books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, engage oneself in deity worship. So that's another thing. Like we have many devotees here who are nicely practicing Krishna consciousness and who even may be second initiated. You know, you can come to the temple and do some service for the deity. You may have photos of some smaller deities at home, but you can also engage in deity worship here in Jagannath Puri Dham and so forth. Why? Simple. It will make you peaceful and you'll feel happy. You feel happy. So these are wonderful, simple four things that are very easy, Prabhupada says. And Prabhupada says it will make you very, very happy. Happy New Year.
That insanity means to to keep doing the same things, but expect to get, or want to get, hope to get, a different result. And even if we don't say it's insanity, but it's certainly not very intelligent at all. If you want to change your life, improve your life, better your life, then if you just continue doing pretty much exactly what you were doing before, it's kind of like a, it's very foolish, it's like a hopeless type of suggestion. So if we want to make 2019, well, if the world, you know, I'm sure last night all over the world, in so many cities and towns and homes, people were hoping, and it was really there in their hearts, we want to have a better year. 2018 was difficult. Every year is difficult. Every year's been difficult. But people were hoping like that. But where is the program for changing your lives, for them changing their lives, so that there's some practical greater likelihood that there may be more happiness? But they don't do that. They just, as far as they're concerned, they're basically going to carry on as usual. Perhaps, you know, when I was young, there used to be a practice of making New Year's resolutions. I suppose it's still going on to some degree now. But those resolutions are famous for being broken quickly. So it's just foolish, and it's very sad that people think or hope or want, they have some expectation, or at least hope, 2019 will be better. Although I'm going to carry on doing exactly what I was doing in 2018, more or less the same. What do you expect? So for us as devotees, well, Maharaj was gave some focus to these four activities, and even in the context of householders. So we should definitely think, of course we want 2019 to be better than 2018, even if 2018 was very nice, even if you had just a joyful, Krishna-conscious 2018, let's make it better. Prabhupada, in the sort of, it was coming into the mid-70s, it was like 74. Yeah, say like that. And then going on from there, Srila Prabhupada was really pushing the development of this movement through book distribution. And Srila Prabhupada had a little motto or a little slogan type of thing, you could say, double it. Double it. That, all right, you did very well, now double it. So in our own Krishna consciousness, you know, what to speak if you had a difficult 2018, but in 2019 we want a better year, but we have to do something better. We have to do something better. And not just pray, oh Krishna, I'm going to do exactly the same, but you please help me by making everything better. It doesn't really work like that. You know the two fingers of the Dhammadhar Lingra, I'm sure you've heard about this plenty. The effort of the devotee and the mercy of Krishna. So it's not just one or the other. Both have to be there. And my fingers, I think I've shown you this before, I don't know, maybe my fingers are a little unusual. See, this is my personal effort finger. More effort. But it's smaller than the Krishna's mercy finger. You see? So both have to be there. But ultimately Krishna's mercy is more important. But even taking that into consideration, the effort has to be there. So we can think along the lines of what Maharaj was saying, that all right, I want a better 2019. So what am I going to do so that it may be better? And then he was talking about my use of the word serious yesterday, or day before, was it? Whenever it was, morning, day before, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita class, if you're a brahmachari, you should take it seriously. If you're a grihastha, you should take it seriously. And if you're vanaprastha, many of you, your children have already left home, and they're basically independent. So whether you like it or not, whether you know it even or not, you're more or less in a vanaprastha position. And then, of course, the sannyasis, whatever our stages in life, we should apply it very seriously. So here we are. 2019 is upon us. It's too late to prepare. Well, anyway, it's upon us. So we should think, what am I going to actually do differently, better? Which would help having a better 2019. Even if you had a wonderful 2018. Maharaj was mentioning this conversation of Srila Prabhupada to our Krishna Goswami. To our Krishna Goswami said, what was it? You have said that Krishna consciousness is easy?
Something like that?
You said it. And Prabhupada said, no. I said it was simple. Some people might think simple and easy are sort of synonyms, but of course they're not. But there's another thing Srila Prabhupada said, kind of, it's a related thing. Srila Prabhupada once said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you may miss it. You may miss it. Yeah. When I was a very new devotee, we had a new bhakta, Bhakta Dag. He was a Britisher. And he was, you know, a kind of intense type of person emotionally. And he really wanted to progress. But then he became a little frustrated. He was living in the temple. He became a little frustrated with Krishna consciousness. And one day he got really quite disturbed. And he actually, would you believe, punched a hole in the window. Why, Krishna? And he said, it's too simple! Krishna consciousness, it's too simple! Means he's got a problem of being sort of conditioned. If he doesn't have sufficient complexity, then he's not satisfied. Anyway, then when he walked out and I haven't seen him, you know, that was 45 years ago. But yes, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you may miss it. In other words, think that it's just too easy. How could it be so wonderful? How could it be? So, yeah. So let's try and do like that. Make a plan. For Prabhupada liked making plans for executing practical activities in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, well, one devotee His name was Ravatananda. It's a long story. But he said, he wrote to Prabhupada and said, I am afraid that as we're increasing our book distribution, the governments will become disturbed as, you know, we're making more impact. And we're obviously, you know, somewhat contrary to what they are thinking. And they're the big controllers. So he said, I'm afraid the governments, when they see us becoming more prominent, they may not just want to stop us, they may try. And Prabhupada really didn't appreciate that. It was, when that happened, I would say I was definitely living in the temple. I came to stay as a guest, would you believe, on January the 7th, 1973. And now it's 2019. So in a few days, where am I going to be? I'm going to be in Siberia, actually. It will be the 46th anniversary. I'm sorry, I was not trying to fish. But I moved in as a guest. And I'm still there as a guest. Yeah. So to say, you know, became a devotee, that's saying quite something. But this letter, this exchange, actually, he wrote to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada replied very strongly. It all happened just after we got the manna, so it was kind of middle of 73, and I had been living in the temple for 6 months, plus or minus, and it became like a bit of a sensation. Because Prabhupada's letter became public, and his mood is even, you could say, anger or something like anger at the suggestion that, you know, there's a problem with book distribution and we may have to do something else, was sort of the bottom line. And then, you remember what I was saying about making plans? Prabhupada responded that we must make our lifelong plans for increasing and developing book distribution. Yeah. Lifelong plans. So Prabhupada liked planning for the development, improvement of Krishna consciousness individually and collectively. So just following on from what Maharaj said, I'm serious, very serious, right? That's what he said, that's what I said. Let's be very serious about it. Why don't each one of you, before you take rest tonight, write down on a piece of paper, think about it obviously, and then write down some sort of plan, even if it's just a sentence, something very simple about it. What you may actually do, not just, oh yes, oh how nice, but what are we actually going to do in the down-to-earth practical terms to really as a specific effort for improving our lives in Krishna consciousness in 2019. And I wanted to read a verse, but now I just got sidetracked by my mind for the last 15 minutes. But seeing it is the anniversary of the installation of Srishri Nitai Gaurasundar, and I remember being here, how many years ago? 13? 13 years ago. Were you here also?
I may have been.
I can't remember. Krishnas Maharaj was here.
I was here.
He was definitely here, I remember that. And maybe one or two other seniors, I just can't remember.
Dina Bandhu Prabhu.
Dina Bandhu Prabhu. Be, I thought so, yes. Be anger and Purim. Oh, Hare Krishna. And Purim Maharaj.
And Bhutalesi, I think.
Was Mr. Bhutalesi
there? Yeah, I remember.
Oh, okay. Great. And it was a great day. It was just a nice day. A real day to remember. And so the installation was there. Shishigonitai Shishinitai Gora Sundar appeared here. Maharaj said or read, I forget if it was said or read, about Krishna consciousness, was it appearing? Something appearing.
I mentioned that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left on the eve and Prabhupada appeared.
I see. Prabhupada. Okay. That was yesterday.
Yeah.
Now today, Shishigonitai have appeared in our lives. And Srila Prabhupada said once, or he definitely said, that Krishna is always self-manifesting. In other words, whenever Krishna appears in some form or another, it's not because we or somebody made him appear, sort of like, in a sense, I ordered him to appear. Appear here, Krishna. Krishna appeared. Very good. I got him to appear. Krishna's always self-manifest. Shishigonitai. They're always self-manifest. If they don't want to manifest, they won't. And they don't. But they did. And they manifested in this temple. And what does that mean? It means they manifested in our lives. And they did that not arbitrarily. And, I mean, there are different sort of ways of understanding their motives, their desires for appearing. But please understand, and we should really try to accept within our hearts, they appeared here to enter our hearts and to help us in so many ways. Prabhupada, there's one place Srila Prabhupada makes the point that when we enter into the Krishna consciousness movement somewhere, normally it's in the sort of the area of our place of residence, if you're a Phoenix Vasi, shall we say? Chatsworth Vasi, if you can say that. So Prabhupada made the point that this is Krishna's arrangement, and Krishna has done this because he is placing you under the supervision of this particular form that he's appeared in. Yeah. So Shishinitai Gaurasundara appeared here by their own will for different reasons. Benedict, Phoenix, and so many things. But one of the reasons, and for us as individuals, it's so important that they appeared to help us, to supervise us, to oversee us, keep an eye on us. Yes. And to give us inspiration and encouragement for making progress in Krishna consciousness. So again, this verse, let me just read it. The famous verse, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 3, verse 4. Anarpita charim chirat. Karuna karuna yavatirna kalo. Samarpaitum unot jvala. Rasam swabhakti shriyam. Hari purita sundara duti. Kadamba sandipita. Siddharidaya kandare spuratu va sachinandana. It's a blessing, actually. It's one of these verses they call category of this, they're called phala stuti. And it's either offering, saying that if you do this, you will get something, some phala, some fruit. Or it's just giving a blessing, saying some encouraging words. Maybe, may there be mercy for you. So this verse says, may the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendently situated in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. So I pray that today the Supreme Lord, who's known as Sachinanda, Sachisuta, the dear son of Mother Sachi, will become situated in the innermost cores of your hearts and mine. Yeah. He is already, but I hope you'll become even more transcendentally situated and more powerfully situated in your hearts. So that when you make your plan, which, you know, if I wasn't going to be in Siberia, I would come next weekend and I would check who has made a plan and written it down. Seriously, I would actually come and check. And anyone who had, I might even give them a present. Bribery is often extremely effective. Seriously, that's serious. But really, when Sachinanda, Gaurasunda, the beautiful Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Nityananda, when they see, when they, within your hearts, because they're already there, because you're all devotees, and in your own ways you're trying. So when they see that you've made a plan, and you've written it down, and you've positioned it in a sort of strategic position, you know, maybe by your mirror in the bathroom. The bathroom's not so nice, but anyway, maybe there. So that when you brush your teeth, first thing in the morning, you see your plan. What you are actually going to do to improve your Krishna consciousness. So when the Lord situated within your heart sees you doing that, then he'll be pleased.
Haribo!
Haribo!
Haribo.
And then he'll become inspired to give you more mercy. And in this way, your 2019, maybe it'll be double better than 2018. So please do this. Please don't be kind of apathetic enough. Apathetic, I think, is the suitable term. Please don't be apathetic enough to think, yes, I'm just going to carry on. But I want a better Happy New Year. I want a Happy New Year and a better New Year. Please don't do that. It's apathetic. Like we said, well, apparently Einstein, who was a highly intelligent person of a type, said it's insanity. I don't want to tell you you're crazy, but, you know, don't be foolish. Don't be foolish and have those types of expectations. Because of course it won't work. It's so simple. It's so simple. How could it be more simple that if you carry on doing the same things, you'll get the same result? What could be more simple? But as Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness sometimes is so simple you can miss it. And it just doesn't click, even though it's like so obvious, it's beyond obvious. Yeah. So, Srila Prabhupada, you know, Srila Prabhupada, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Krishna Sri Aura Sundara. Let me just say one thing, well, next, is that Prabhupada Prabhu, who is our great authority here, has told me I should go on even when the curtain opens. So if you object, just take it up with him. It's his fault. Srila Prabhupada, well, we mentioned he was very practical. He was not a sort of airy-fairy person. And you know, there's a famous example to illustrate. It's in the Leelamrita. Prabhupada, after the opening of the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, stayed on for some time to just check, now the temple is finally open, how's the functioning going to be? So there's a few famous incidents noted in the Leelamrita. One is, he would go around every morning after class and do just sort of wander around inspecting things with the temple president. And one time, one morning, they are just moving around the temple room, around the courtyard there, if you're familiar with that temple. And Prabhupada noticed there was one light, just a single light bulb, hanging from the ceiling somewhere on that walkway around the courtyard, and it was on. And it was like 9 or 9:30 or something. You know, it was definitely well into the morning and bright light. And the light was on. And Srila Prabhupada said to the temple president, "What will we do about this?" A practical answer would have been switch it off. But the temple president decided to be very, notice the quote unquote, Krishna conscious. And he said, "We will become Krishna conscious." Some would think this is a very profound answer. Prabhupada responded, "An impractical suggestion." So Prabhupada was very practical. And he was extremely intelligent spiritually and materially. Fantastically intelligent, sharp. Pick up things just like that. It was mind-boggling, often. So he didn't just encourage, but he really tried to train his disciples to do practical things for improvement of themselves and of his movement. I want to tell you two little stories. I think they're from San Diego. They're from Badrinarayan Swami anyway, who's from San Diego. He had just become temple president in San Diego. And Srila Prabhupada came. And he wanted to ask Prabhupada, you know, a good question about his new service, important service, and get a profound, deep answer from Prabhupada. So on the morning walk, one morning, he asked Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, what are the duties of the temple president?" And he was hoping or expecting to get some sort of, you know, profound thing about the purity of the movement and his responsibility for that and for the preaching and for the devotees and caring. And Prabhupada's answer was, listen to this, and, you know, in the future, make at least a mental note. You can write it down if you like. And in the future, you may be able to utilize it with the temple president. Prabhupada's answer was, the temple president is the person who, whenever something goes wrong, it's his fault. That's a real problem. But I think that we doesn't mind. But anyway, it's a true story told to us by Bajrangaraya Swami himself in person. Then another related, you know, not unrelated, slightly, somewhat different, but related story. I'm going to tell you two more, actually. One was that it was before he became temple president, but he was from there, so he's like a temple resident. And he was in the room with Srila Prabhupada when the temple president at the time approached Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, one of our friends has offered us peanut oil, a whole lot of peanut oil. It's a cooking medium. It's not so popular here, but, you know, like in England, every good Hindu, they don't cook in sunflower oil. They cook in peanut oil, at least a lot of them. So, okay, so one of our friends, he's given us a special offer on a whole lot of peanut oil, very cheap. And Srila Prabhupada responded, it is not so first class. And the temple president said, but Srila Prabhupada, you know, it will save so much money. We'll be able to offer so much more money to the BET. You know, he's trying to negotiate. He's trying to be clever with Srila Prabhupada. Like, Prabhupada might not have thought of this. We'll be able to offer more money to the BET. And Srila Prabhupada said, it is not so first class. But, you know, sometimes devotees, it wouldn't click in their minds when they're presenting something to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada didn't like it and was not going to accept it. So he came back, this is now a third time, with that, you know, but Srila Prabhupada, something, it'll be beneficial for us. And Prabhupada replied, fasten your seatbelts, please. It's a little sort of heavy. Prabhupada said, cook in any damn thing you like. And the temple president became silent. So then the temple president was in the process of leaving the room. Srila Prabhupada said, you know, I knew one man. He ate too many pakoras one night, fried in peanut oil. And the temple president said, oh, what happened to him? Prabhupada said, he died the next morning. Saying it is not so first class. All right. So here's another little interesting thing. And it's just an interesting little thing from San Diego, and it's from Bajrangaraya Swami. Prabhupada was coming. And in those days when Prabhupada would come to a temple, then, you know, the devotees would sort of do like a renovation. They'd repaint and change some of the curtains sometimes and this and that. And yeah. And normally they would finish the minute Prabhupada stepped out of the car arriving in the temple. So this is what happened. They repainted the whole temple. So they had all these empty paint drums and these old cloths and pieces of this and that and pieces of wood. And Prabhupada's just coming down the street, coming from the airport. What to do with all this stuff? Aha! I know. Let's just throw it out the back door. So they did. Just outside the back door was this pile of garbage, sort of blocking the back door. And Prabhupada arrived. One devotee had decided to be extremely Krishna conscious. So he painted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in Sanskrit on the front stairs. Because it's, you know, we're being very Krishna conscious here. Prabhupada stepped out of the car, approached the stairs, and saw there's the Hare Krishna Mantra painted very elegantly in Sanskrit on the stairs. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, it is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I cannot step on it." And he went around to the back door. It's like a disaster area, like a tsunami just went through. And Prabhupada had to pick his way through. Yes. So, my prayer is, may the Supreme Lord, who is known as the Son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost cores of your hearts and mine. Because, well, you know, because we could say so many things, but at the very least, when he sees you putting together your plan and trying to execute your plan, maybe taking some guidance and inspiration on executing your plan, etc., from senior devotees, so he's situated within your heart, will be very merciful. He'll empower you to execute your plan. Situated within your heart, when he becomes very happy within your heart, when he becomes very happy, he's feeling so happy that you're being progressive and practical, trying to advance in Krishna consciousness, then he'll let you share his happiness. This is one type of, what would you say, interpretation or understanding of how we feel blissful sometimes, more, and at other times not so much, and some other times it's a lot. This is one understanding, is that Krishna, the Lord, Lord Chaitanya, within your heart, as he's observing how you're doing, what you're doing, when he sees you're making a special effort, or not a special effort, maybe if you're just being lazy, but whatever, he feels, and he shares his feeling with you. And therefore you feel. Because when you water the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree become nourished and enlivened. So when we please Krishna, He becomes enlivened in our hearts, and he shares that with us. And if we do some nonsense, he becomes displeased, because he has expectations of you. He has expectations, and he becomes displeased. And then as a result, shortly you feel some displeasure yourself. So that's my wish. That's my New Year's prayer, shall we say. And please do like this and pray that I do too. And then we'll really have a happy 2018. Shishinatai Gora Sundai Kiddha. Shishinatai Gora Sundai Kiddha. Shishinatai Gora Sundai Kiddha.
Maybe establish it even more better, deeply, in that sense. We also have to offer Krishna consciousness to others, which is the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. So last Sunday, we gave a talk that inspired devotees in Radharadhana temple. And His Grace Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu had a goal of 50,000 books at least, and he was short of 5,000 books. He may achieve the goal of 45,000 books. So then he discussed with me. He was a little bit depressed that he wasn't pleasing Srila Prabhupada. So I said, let's try. So we tried on Sunday at maybe 11 o'clock, I guess, the program. And that day we distributed 5,200 books. But mainly these small books, it went up very well. Yeah. And the consciousness behind it, that all of you have all the books anyway, so you'll have to give your New Year gifts, you know, from today to your friends and family members. I mean, it's like a Navanamaras. Every day and every moment is a new year for us. So it's not that only today. If you take like 10 packs of these books, you can distribute throughout the year or even this week. And so forth. So Prabhupada Prabhu and the management is requesting that you come and say, take some of these nice packs of books. You don't need to give the money now. You can take this and give it as a gift to others. I think this pack goes for a little bit like the minimum donation is 150 rands. And there's another 50 books here, says 50 rands. Of course, you know, we have a little bit of money here and there, so if you can offer this one, please show it up. But it would be nice. So if you want to take it from the sacred hands of His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami, please queue up on this side and this side. Please stop. Who's starting? Come. Yes, come. Let's chant for Mataji. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. And you have to go to, like, get over behind us and give your name. Okay, many books. Like, you know, she started with one pack, but if you're taking more than one, it would be nice. But from how many packs are you taking? Probably.
There's
100.
Yeah?
You take the whole box. How many of the box?
The one of the Bhagavad Gita.
How many languages do you like to take?
Sorry?
How many packs do you take? One for me and one for Maharaj? Two?
I've got a whole box of Bhagavad Gita. Take
it. Just chant for him. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
How many bags are there? Okay, come on. Come on. Hare Krishna.